Well, I've been going through a series called Hearing the Heart of Christ, and we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we saw that the Lord hates divorce. We are to care for and protect our marriages as God intended. And so that was last week, and today I'll be moving on in a different topic, and today we'll be discussing keeping our word and being honest. I remember going through school as a kid and seeing kids make a promise, and they would make a promise with their fingers behind their back. Well, supposedly, is if you cross your fingers, that you plan on breaking that promise. You're not going to keep your word. Somehow, the crossing of fingers makes the promise no longer a promise. But it's disguised in a way so that the person you're promising doesn't know it. What about a pinky promise? I don't think I've ever made a pinky promise, but from what I understand, a pinky promise cannot be broken, right? You're saying with your pinky that you're willing to give up your pinky if you break the promise. Is that accurate? I don't know. I've never done it. But getting into like maybe the court system and courts, sometimes they may ask you to put your hand on a Bible to swear to telling the truth. Somehow, because the Bible is there, it will force the person not to lie. If the person that's swearing to it with their hand on the Bible, if they respect the Bible, maybe they will tell the truth. We seem to be in a place where keeping one's word and truthfulness can sometimes be hard to find. If you promise to do something, do you truly follow through? Pinky promise or not? I know that I have said that I would do something, and unfortunately, I have let others down when I forgot. I know there have been times where I will walk away or say, tell someone, you know, I'm going to pray for you, and walk away. 5 minutes later, forget. I'm actually doing better with that. It's like, you know what? I want to pray for you right now. Let's pray. And then I know it's done. But usually when I do that, I'll also remember throughout the rest of the day and keep them in prayer too. I've been working to do better with following through on something that I say. But if you'd turn with me to Matthew 5:33, and we'll begin to look at the passage that we're going to be going through, Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. So Jesus is pointing out a specific law that would have been known to the people at the time. Jesus is going to not only address this law, but bring a fuller understanding to it. The law discussed keeping one's oath or vow that they have made to the Lord. And I'm going to be reading out of Deuteronomy 23:21, where we will see a good understanding of this law. So Deuteronomy 23:21. If you make a vow to the Lord your God and do not be... I'll start over. Do not make a vow to the Lord your God. Do not be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord your God with your own mouth. Seems pretty simple to understand. If you make a vow to the Lord, do it, because if you do not, you'll be guilty of sin. But if you don't make a vow, but you're intending to do it, but don't make a vow, you're not guilty. Because you never made the vow. Yet, whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do. See, while this appears very straightforward and clear, I'll tell you that Satan has had some influence on people. You see, there's another law found in Leviticus 19:12. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name your God. I am the Lord. So that verse, along with a third of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 27, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So what I'm pointing out here is the Israelites began to create a system of making oaths in a way that didn't use the Lord's name. So we saw in Matthew that Matthew 5, where it's talking about, you've heard long ago. Well, here, I'll just bring it back up. You've heard that it was said that people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. So we see they are to keep the oaths they've made to the Lord. But since they don't want to use the Lord's name in vain, they begin inserting other words. So they'll make an oath based on something else. Make an oath based on heaven or earth or Jerusalem. You know, they'll make oaths based on other things. And I'll be sharing a little more on that in a moment, but Jesus has something more to say. He has stated the law that is seen in Deuteronomy, and he's going to expand it as we look further in Matthew 5:33. Again, I just read the first one, but keep the oaths you've made to the Lord, verse 34, but I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. See, without a little background or context, we might get a little lost in this one. Other than we can take away, keep your word. But what is really going on? So in Jesus' day, the religious leaders, they ascribed to this system. Like I said, they insert other things, other words in which they swear by. Yet in that system, there's kind of a weight and measure type scale. Well, if I swear by this thing, I really have to keep my word. But if I swear by this thing, I probably should keep it. But if I swear by this thing, I don't have to keep it. I don't have to keep my word. It is a system in which one's oath, depending on what words they use, is stronger than another. So what's the result? There's a lack of accountability. There's a lack of truthfulness, a lack of integrity, a lack of keeping one's word, because there was systematized outs, systematized reasons for not doing what they said. In other words, it was permissible to lie or not keep one's word in this system of oaths and vows. So we have these religious leaders basically crossing their fingers, maybe half crossing their fingers, that type of thing, by the words that they use. So this is kind of a big deal. Based on this system of oaths and vows, it was permissible to lie or not keep one's word. Is that a problem for Jesus? Absolutely. It's a problem. See, if we are kingdom citizens living in this world, we must be truthful and trustworthy, not looking for loopholes to allow us to abandon our words. Jesus addresses their thinking. Swearing by heaven is to swear by God's throne. That's pretty significant. Swearing by the earth, that's God's footstool. Hey, that's important. Swearing by Jerusalem, well, that is the city of the great king. Well, that's important too. Swearing by one's own head, you can't even change a hair color on your own head. Everything is something that God has an active role in. To treat his creations with disrespect is ultimately disrespecting God. It is best not to swear at all than to bring such dishonor to these things. So what is Jesus doing in this passage? He is essentially deconstructing their system piece by piece. See, Jesus isn't looking for people who sound good in their words. He wants them to be truthful to their word. Jesus isn't looking for lawyers. He's looking for people of integrity. And I know that sounds bad. There are lawyers who are great people of integrity. But sometimes certain lawyers are just looking for loopholes to get out of things. To have a very, very legalistic language. That's not what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for a person of integrity. Not someone good at finding, back doors or loopholes. Not good with their language, but He's looking for people who will keep their word, who are trustworthy. He's looking for the people who, when they say yes, they mean yes. When they say no, they mean no. Honesty and integrity. I think that is why Jesus is clear in saying that anything beyond this is from the evil one. You see, if we get into the mindset that we can live in a system of deception and lies, that is speaking the native language of the evil one. Satan is the father of lies. So I may have said yes to something, but Satan's going to come in there and he's going to just turn around and ask some questions. Did you really say yes? I mean, did you really say it? Did you really mean to say yes? Maybe it just came out and you really didn't mean to say yes. Don't they all really understand your yes to be a maybe or even a no? Do they really understand the yes is a yes? So to twist the yes is to no longer, so that it no longer means what it means, that's from Satan. So if we skip ahead in the book of Matthew, we'll see Jesus kind of get in the face of the Pharisees and the religious leaders when it comes to honesty in giving one's word. We're going to skip forward to Matthew chapter 23, verse 16. Matthew 23, verse 16. And I'll be reading through 22. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold on the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it, and he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it, and he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. So this passage actually brings a lot more clarity into what was really being done. They swear by one thing, they're not bound. But if they swear by something else, they have to keep it. The system of oaths was a significant problem, and it was the leaders that you could not trust because you had to know this system in order to know if one was truly going to keep their word, if they were truly being honest. The system gave permission to lie and to not keep their word, and Jesus had no time for it. Satan loved it. Jesus has no time for it. Jesus demands honesty and follow-through in keeping one's word, no matter the circumstance. If you don't think you can keep your word, don't give it. Don't make promises you can't keep. Don't make vows you anticipate breaking. Don't make oaths knowing that you'll likely back out of it and not keep. Simply, if you say you will do something, make it so. Because of the actions of these leaders, they were leading others into the same thing. And Jesus makes it really clear when he goes, "You blind guides." It's a pretty powerful statement, because they were not bringing honor to God, even though they were supposed to be the godly ones. They were passing this system of deception and dishonesty on to others. That would be like walking into a courtroom and being asked under oath to swear to tell the whole truth, but since there was no Bible to put your hand on, you say yes, and then proceed to not tell the truth. If you say in court that you'll tell the truth, then you'll tell the truth. But Jesus is looking for more. He isn't talking about just the legal scene or the courts. He's saying, you tell the truth in all circumstances. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. And James pretty much repeats the statement that we find in Matthew 5 and James 5:12. Above all, my brothers, do not swear by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. It's almost identical to what we saw in Matthew 5:34. Getting ahead of myself there. Be honest and keep your word and have no part of the swearing or vow system that permits dishonesty. For dishonesty is sin, and therefore it has consequences. Yet as I look at these passages, we see a reoccurring prohibition of making oaths or swearing to something. Does that apply to us today? There are some groups, religious church groups, that take this literally, and they will not make an oath. They will not make a vow. They will not swear to anything because they feel that this is literally what they are to do. Is that what Jesus has in mind? Is this what Jesus has in mind, that we are to never make an oath or swear by anything? Well, we can see something with what we have looked through in the context right now, that we obviously see what he had in mind, and that was not participating in a system that permitted dishonesty. Though some might disagree, I do not see a problem for those who have to swear to tell the truth in court. I don't see a problem with those in public service swearing to do the job entrusted to them to the best of their ability. For law enforcement and military who are sworn in to uphold the laws of the land and defend and protect it. I don't see a problem with a couple saying a vow in marriage. Because as kingdom citizens and followers of Jesus, we will be truthful and honest no matter what. Whether we're under oath or not, whether you solemnly swear to it or not, your yes means yes, and when you say that you'll do something, you will do it. We aren't truthful in just major things or events. We are truthful in everything, even in the small things. As a kingdom citizen who calls on the name of the Lord, we mean what we say, period. I kind of like black and white shows, television shows, some of the older ones. A lot of times they'll actually have like lessons or something to take away from it. I remember a saying that has come up in a lot of these shows, a man or a person without their word is nothing. Whether telling the truth or doing something they say they will do, it was an important thing in the past. A person without their word can't be trusted. There's no integrity. I think that's a lost character trait in today's culture. You see, lying is commonplace. It's common practice, assuming that you're trying to get something. To get money, or to get votes, to get support from others. Maybe it isn't entirely lying, but speaking in a way that hides the fuller truth, it's still dishonesty. Not long ago, I wrote a review on something I bought on Amazon.com. It wasn't really a bad review. It was actually kind of a decent review in my mind. And it wasn't a 5-star rating, but I kind of listed a few things that I thought were problems with it. And I get this letter from the company, and it was really a nice letter, and they said, "We're sorry it didn't meet your expectations to the fullest, and we would like to give you an Amazon gift card." And I'm thinking, well, that's customer service. But then as I read on, if I accept that Amazon gift card, I had to change my rating of that item to a 5-star review. Now, wait a second. Now, I have the ability to get some money as long as I just change a little something over here. They wanted to buy my review, which really made me want to change my review to a 1-star rating, because I didn't know how many others gave really good reviews because they were bought as well. So that's a real small thing, but it starts there. It really starts there. If you cannot trust the small things in someone, can you really trust them with the bigger things? What you do and what you say have an impact. Are you trustworthy and honest? Do you follow through with what you say? And I have another example. I know I've got a bunch of them, but I have another one. I remember when I was young, a family that I knew and I was close with, the dad would often say they would do something a little later or do something tomorrow. And for an example, my friend wanted to go fishing one day, and his dad would say, "We'll go tomorrow. We'll go tomorrow." The interesting thing, when tomorrow came, his dad had a full schedule with other things planned. He actually had all those things planned when he told his son that they would go tomorrow. That son would remind him of what he said, and the dad would simply say, "Sorry, we got too much planned for today. We'll go tomorrow." I have to say, it made me angry, because I saw the hurt in the unmet promises. That dad seemed like he would say things but have absolutely no intention of actually trying to fulfill what he just said. Now, he wasn't a bad guy. He was a fairly nice guy. You just couldn't trust that he would follow through on what he said. Maybe he thought it was okay to let his son down. Maybe he just thought, well, as long as I tell him tomorrow, he'll leave me alone and I'll deal with it later, that type of thing. But what was he doing? He was teaching his son, don't trust dad. So make your own plans. And the son would likely follow in his dad's footsteps and do that very same thing to others as well, because that was normal for him. We'll do it tomorrow, but we won't do it tomorrow. So that you can see is a problem, and this is not a character trait you want to be known for. Truthfulness and honesty and integrity and follow through in keeping one's word is not something that people can take from you. It's something that you either keep and follow through with, or you let it go. You give it away as if it's nothing. Kingdom citizens follow the Lord in honesty and follow through on their word. I would say that many of us fall short. I, as a father, fall short. I, as a husband, fall short. I, as a pastor, fall short. And I can tell you, the more stressed and the more busy and the more activities going on, I become more forgetful. If you have been a recipient of this, I'll be the first to say I am sorry. I am. I want to be the one that you can count on, and I'm trying to figure out different ways to ensure that I follow through on what I say. That being said, we may need to seek forgiveness in the times that we have failed to keep our word. We might have to make changes so that we will be people who are truthful and dependable. But before I close, there's always one nagging question. Is there ever a time where dishonesty would be allowed? Come on, some of you are wondering that question. Is there ever a time where dishonesty is allowed? In most cases of lying found in Scripture, and there's a bunch of them, in most cases of lying found in Scripture, they are almost always negative outcomes. Yet, I will point out that there appears to be one example found in Scripture, at least that I know of. There might be another, I'm not sure. One example that may appear positive. It was Rahab who lied about the spies, saying that the spies left her house when she was indeed hiding them. And when I say there's a positive outcome is that Rahab was credited for protecting the spies, and that led to her being saved. She and her entire household would be spared when the Israelites destroyed Jericho. If there is an allowable time, it would be of the rarest, and you must certainly realize God has an overwhelming disdain for dishonesty. But as I have said before, if I were in Rahab's position, I would have done the same and repented afterwards. Is there a time where dishonesty is allowed? I would say almost never. But you'll have to take it to the Lord, because you will be the one held accountable for that before God. So keeping your word and being honest is important to God. And that is what we take away from this. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. If you say that you'll do something, do it. That is the character of God. He is always faithful. He has always been faithful. And He has always kept His promises. And He has been truthful to His word. And that's the example that we follow and that we seek to have the same.